Pat Cummins. Ollie Robinson faces the music. Cummins bowls to him. He bats away and he's bowled. The captain finishes it. Pat Cummins pumps the fist. England routed in the final session under lights. They lost 9 wickets for 56 runs in the collapse. It happened inside 2 hours. Australia wins the Ashes 4-0. And bar for the one missing wicket, it would have been a whitewash. Australia win in Belrive by 146 runs. And it is just additional humiliation for England at the end as they're bowled out for 124. Damien Fleming.
They were numb for 68. We were thinking it was going to be a victory for England and win the last one of the series. But once that first wicket fell, it was just a procession. And it was the unrelenting bowling from the Australians again. I think Cam Green was the main man in this innings. He's the one with England in a fine position, just found a way to get wickets three early on. And then it was just bowling persistence again. Pat Cummins, I've said it all series, that the greatest strength of Cummins' captaincy is he's got himself as a bowler and he comes on in the big moments. And Mitchell Starc's had a very good consistent series. So amazing enough, Australia have thrashed England in the end and Nathan Lyon didn't bowl one ball.
And for me, that last dismissal just summed up this entire series, Flem. Batter backing away. For a large part of this series, it felt like a lot of these English batters haven't wanted to be there. And I wasn't surprised that the last wicket to fall was one. Someone backing away, exposing his stumps and just offering them to Pat Cummins.
The innings only lasted 38.5 overs. Six batters were clean bowled. The wickets have been shared. Cummins 3 for 42. Boland 3 for 18. Green 3 for 21. And Starc 1 for 30. So England's been bowled out for 188 and 124. They batted for 47.4 overs in their first dig and 38.5 overs in the second. They have been a thoroughly dreadful team in this series and that puts the exclamation mark on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, going back to that first test, which feels like a long time ago, they looked deflated after the second day, Jared. And there was talk of, is the everything conspiring against us already being, you know, brought up after just 2 days of the series? So no surprises at all that things have just gone from bad to worse. If MCG was a humiliation, this is a complete disaster.
It's capitulation at the end, and maybe that's what happens at the end of a miserable tour. But there'll be no hiding from it, as if they had been able to pull off a heroic chase at the end, it might have glossed over a few things, but that's ritual humiliation in the way that it has been done in the final session. And not even the extra half hour is required before the additional time. Australia did it inside the 2 hours. So think about how that happened. Is it was the ball that brought on tee was the first wicket, and then nine fell in the 2 hours after tee.
So many boxes that Australia have ticked as the series has gone on. There are still some question marks maybe about the batting, but Cam Green spell was just the icing on the cake, and he's really impressed with his bowling every time he's got the ball in his hand. And he made things happen when it looked like Australia was slightly flat. I was thinking back to the Oval Test of 2019. You know, are they tiring? And then that spell just opened this game up. And then Pat Cummins and co just shut it in England's face.
Well, that is one of the all-time collapses, Alex Doolan, here at the ground. I suspect that'll be spoken about for a while.
Yeah, and a really disappointing end to the game too. I thought it had been such a great contest the whole way through. It had ebbed and flowed and both teams had had their noses in front. And at none for 60-something, England were looking really good and it was almost, well, England the favourites. But to fall over the way they have is, well, I guess it's really just summed up the series, hasn't it?
That they actually lost the 10 for 56. I think I gave them an out at 9 for 56. They were none for 68 and then lost 10 for 56. So, Flem, we sat together for the first ball of the series and instantly pondered, would that be the the moment that defined everything that followed? And guess what? The answer was yes.
Yes. Harmison 0607, Burnsy, what are we, 21, 22. It was, and how many zing bales were flying in that innings? It was insane, wasn't it?
Insane.
But, yeah, they did have a chance, but it was going to take something special, one special knock. And Crawley showed signs. I can definitely see him making a lot of runs, particularly on flatter surfaces. But how many other questions were answered? I think Robinson will take wickets at home, but he needs to get fitter and more resilient. Billings and Pope, who knows? I like their energy and enthusiasm. Are their games going to match up there? And Mark Wood is, you know, he's fast and hostile. He's going, if they use him wisely, they're always going to have that extra pace around their fast mediums. But they haven't found out about their spinner. They might need a new wicketkeeper, opening batsman. Number three, Milan doesn't get runs at home. So, yeah, it's pretty much a complete thrashing and with very, very few positives.
Who's your man of the series, Flem, before it's announced?
I'll go Travis Head. In that, he helped win one test match really in Brisbane. That 50 was important when England were fighting back. And then that 100 in this match looks insane when you look back at the scoreboard. So three dominant test matches. Stark, very good for consistency, but really all the bowlers. I mean, Boland, would, if we were doing votes, would be right up there as well. Yeah. But Travis Head for me.
I'm Pat Cummins. His 21 wickets and his leadership. What would Australia look like under a fast bowler? Australia is absolutely thrilling under a fast bowler. Bharat?
I'm going with Flem, Travis Head, because the two innings that really set up wins in difficult batting conditions for Australia, the 100 at the Gabba and the 100 here, I think will go down in history as one of the greatest Ashes knocks ever. I mean, you put it into perspective with how everybody else has struggled on this pitch across all four innings, and it was just an incredible innings. So I just, no South Australian bias here, but I'm with Flem here.
So I'm Head man of the match. But I'm Cummins, man of the series. Where are you, Alex?
Head man of the series for me. I think in a bowler-dominated series, Travis Head was absolutely sensational. But I think that they will give it to Patrick Cummins.
Yeah. Be exciting if they did. Damien Fleming, we were together at the start, together at the end. Thank you very much.
Thanks, gentlemen. Well called, and we'll see you soon.
Terrific. See you, Flem. Our experts for Anaconda. Play more, pay less with Anaconda's 10% price beat guarantee. That scoreboard at the end. The Independent Reserve Scoreboard. Choose Independent Reserve for crypto. Australia 303 and 155. England 188 and 124. Quite miserably at the end. It's quite startled by how quickly all that has happened. Australia's margin of victory was 146 runs, 4-0 in the series. So many tales out of this Australian team, the way those wickets have been shared. So the runs for the series, Head 357 at 59.5, Labuschagne 335 at 42, Warner 273 at 34, Khawaja 255 at 85, Smith 244 at 30, and Green 228 at 32.5, and the bowling, which was captivating. Cummins 21 at 18, Stark 19 at 25 and a bit, Boland 18 at 9.55, which boggles the mind, Lyons 16 at 23.5, he's got a formal protest in with leadership, and Cam Green 13 at 15.75. So the spread of wickets is truly something to marvel at.
And for Australian supporters, Cameron Green has really established himself as that all-rounder in the team now, hasn't he? I mean, there were a few questions around that position, but it's pretty hard to go past him now.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It is now time for the official post-match presentation. Australia win the Ashes 4-0, but can I firstly say congratulations to Hobart on a historic occasion hosting their first Ashes test. It was a remarkable test, full of action, and I think you can be very, very proud of what you've achieved over the last 3 days. Can I also acknowledge the match officials, match referee David Boone, umpires Paul Wilson, Rod Tucker, Paul Wilson, Paul Rifle and Rod Tucker, and David Boone. Well done, gentlemen. Sorry. I'd now like to call Joe Root to the stage. Joe, I will start by saying, and I'll ask the crowd to acknowledge, thank you to you and your team for coming down in really trying circumstances around the world. There was a lot at play and you took it on. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
I seem to have been in this position a couple of times with you where at the start of a day and during the day, there was a victory on the table, but it was quickly taken away. How do you reflect on that? I know it's just happened, but it's happened a few times on the tour.
Yeah, it's been a frustration throughout. It's been a really tough tour for us. We've played good cricket in parts. We've just not managed to string a whole game together. And it's something that we have to learn from as a group. We have to keep looking to get better, learn from these experiences, not go away from here and keep making the same mistakes. So that's the challenge for the group moving forward. It won't be long before we're back playing Test cricket again, so there will be opportunities to turn that around.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be questions asked. Are you aware in your mind yet what they may be and how you'll respond to them? What areas of the team setup that you might need to change or improve on?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. We need to be putting some more runs on the board as a batting group. Too often we've not given our bowlers enough to work with. And I think just in all areas in general, I do think we've been outplayed, and credit to Australia for that. They've deserved to win this series, and sometimes you've got to hold your hands up and respect that a team outplays you.
Pace on the ball seemed to be a big difference in the bowling units, but you saw Mark Wood today get due reward. I don't think anyone could begrudge him the 6 wickets that he picked up. You didn't have Jofra at your disposal. Do you think projecting 4 years forward that you really do need some velocity on the ball?
Who knows where we'll be in 4 years' time. I think one thing I can say is that you mentioned Woody there, his efforts throughout the whole trip. It was really nice to see him get the rewards today in picking up 6 wickets. He's someone that throws everything into every performance, every ball, and he's very deserving of that.
I think he's won a nation over from the fans' point of view. Joe, I invite you just to say a few words. I'm sure there's a few people you'd like to thank and acknowledge.
Yeah, I'd say a massive thank you for having us here on this tour. I know the circumstances have been trying at times, but we really appreciate the opportunity to come and tour here. It's a huge occasion, a huge series, and we're very grateful for the hospitality. So, and credit to Australia. Congratulations, Pat, and your team. Well done on this win. So, cheers.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Joe.
Thank you very much.
Now invite Australia captain Pat Cummins to the stage. Evening, Pat.
Hey, Gilly.
Like Joe, I guess I've seemed to have been in a familiar position here with you a few times where it's a big smile on your face, job done. Is it childhood dream stuff?
Yeah, it really is. It's pretty crazy. Even as a professional cricketer, these are the series you have in your diary a couple of years out. So to be at the end of a, 5 test match series with so many positives, obviously, winning 4-0, yeah, it's just huge. So really pumped.
When you look at the stats, you look down the series, it's been a real team effort. It must be amazing to look around at a bowling change where a decision's made to have the artillery at your disposal, and you didn't even need to use Nathan Lyon in the whole test match.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm really happy as a captain. I'm not sure Nathan Lyon agrees with me. I think that's been a highlight as well. Not only, I guess, the 11 guys playing, but I think we've had about 15 players used in this series and some really tough calls to leave out some high-quality players. So, yeah, it feels like we're really building to something big. To have someone like Cam Green in his second year to grow, both as a batter and bowler. As well as some of the younger players, Trav Head, Marcus Harris, Jai Richardson, And then obviously the old stalwarts like Scotty Boland and... and all the old pros just continue on their form. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the development of the younger players, but that squad effect, there's a big 12 months ahead. It's going to be different conditions to what we've experienced here with the green wickets all summer. 10 test matches on the subcontinent against some tough opposition. So that squad depth is going to come a key element.
Yeah, it really is. I'm super excited for that. With the pandemic, one thing we haven't played a lot of is test cricket overseas. So, yeah, can't wait to, show our wares overseas, really judge ourselves in all conditions. So that's the next big focus for this team.
And I'll allow you an opportunity if there's any people you'd like to thank.
Yeah, I think firstly just to the ECB and Cricket Australia for putting on this in the middle of a unprecedented times. It's just huge. So much effort. I mean, a few weeks ago, we didn't even know where this game's going to be played. So huge thanks for all the efforts. To Joe, to Chris, to all the players, all your families. Just can't thank you enough. It's unprecedented times, what you've been through. A lot of you straight from the IPL World Cup. You're nigh on 6 months here on the road. So we do really appreciate it. No, it's not easy. Thank you. And then the last one, I think, the whole world's been in tough times, but especially certain states and, Australia-wide. So thanks for your support. Hope it put some smiles on your faces and we had an absolute ball. So thank you. Cheers.
Thanks, Pat. Oh, well said, Australia captain Pat Cummins. It's now time for the Vodafone player of the match, who happens to be the player of the series as well. With 357 runs and an average of 59 and 2 centuries, Travis Head. Congratulations, Trav. 2 centuries, one to kickstart the series and one to close it out. Of the two, do you have a favourite, and perhaps which one do you felt was more influential in the fixture?
Great to have an impact. I think I'll probably look at this one being probably better. The conditions, the situation we're in to be able to play a role in the team and win a test match is pretty special.
Did you change your approach? You've been in and out of the team a little bit. It looked like you came back with an attitude that you're going to trust your game that has seen you be so successful for South Australia, and you were prepared to risk that. It takes a bit of courage.
Yeah, I've worked on a lot of things and over the last couple of years, and I didn't quite take the opportunities I did earlier in my career. And I think after I saw 19 test matches, I had a reasonable idea on what the expectation was, and I was just so eager to get back and have another opportunity in it. Helps batting behind a couple of blokes, average 60 as well. I think the batters above me have done a fantastic job, and there's been definitely some opportunities throughout the series where I've been able to take advantage of that.
Well, I was going to ask about that batting unit. I do know what it's like to come behind a settled top six, and it's nice to have some continuity and familiarity around the group. It looks like it really gelled together well.
Yeah, and like Pat said, the bench has also been fantastic to have sort of 15 blokes, and that batting group was one of them, to have guys come in like Uzi did. Everyone's been in form. We knew that coming into the series. It was obviously tight for selection. I didn't know what way it was going to fall, and just showed our class. And I think as a squad whole, bowlers and batters is extremely strong at the moment. Positions are tough, and we've always got to be performing, so it's a nice Australian cricket team to be in.
There's no doubt that the pressure was on for everyone to continue to perform. Feel free to say a few words and acknowledgement to anyone that you'd like to.
No, I haven't got a lot. I think just echo Pat's words. Just, well, congratulations to England. It's tough in the situation, but I'll thank you for everyone, and I can't wait for tonight and the next few days, and I'm going to absolutely enjoy it, so thank you.
So the player of the series wins the Compton Miller Medal. Travis. The Compton Miller Medal for Ashes player of the series. Congratulations, and the Vodafone player of the match. Well done. Travis Head, ladies and gentlemen. So there's just one thing left to do. I'll re-invite the captain, Pat Cummins, to come up. And you can get your team ready. Pat, congratulations. And Ashes winning captain, 4-0, Vickers, Australia. Come on up.
Pat Cummins takes possession of the crystal urn and raises it to the faithful here in Hobart. Calls the team up onto the podium to celebrate what they have achieved. 4-0. And finishing it off in astounding style in the final session of day three. Cummins takes a knee, surrounded by his teammates who have the champagne, ready to pop the corks and spray it all around. Up goes the confetti into the night air as well. The green and gold streamers, the markers of victory in such a moment. Australia 4-0, the player of the series, Travis Head, victory in Hobart by 146 runs. We'll take a few moments to wrap it all up shortly. Let's head down to ground level and savour it all. Anthony Hudson and Adam Collins.
Thank you, Jared. And Collo, it's great to be down here. You can see what sort of impact this is having, first and foremost, on the young cricket fans of Tasmania that have lined. Some of them have been lucky that a jumper's thrown their way from the Australian players. They're just lapping it up. It's a bit of a footy atmosphere. They're slapping down on top of the coach's box or the players' dugouts down here. And it's a great sight, Collo.
Yep, small venue, but they've packed it out across the 3 days. Well, they've done pretty well. They may not have sold it out entirely, but the noise they've made this evening, especially when Australia were going through England, a collapse of 10 for 56 across 22.4 overs.
Yeah.
Electric atmosphere, and that was a lovely moment from Root through to Cummins and then Travis Head, the Compton Miller medal winner.
It was, and the Australians are together now, as it sounds like they will be for a little while, I suspect, on the back of what Travis Head had to say as they hold that replica urn and pose in various positions for the photographers, and they make their way into the green and gold streamers that are strewn all over the ground. Some of them got stuck on the Fox tracking camera up above, and
they'll make for good photos, I'd imagine, with
photos,
the green and gold hanging off the spider cam. I don't know whether they were carefully positioned there or that was part of the explosion, but as you say, Travis Head saying he's going to enjoy the next few days. They're going to have a good run at it, and fair enough too, a couple of days off, wrapping it up in the space of, well, not even 3 days, an absolutely dominant performance, especially considering that they were rolled cheaply in the second innings this evening. They should have been hard held here, but they weren't.
No, they weren't. And unfortunately, its series has ended as it started with an English batsman being bowled all too easily. It really was very little resistance. And you were saying, just, you know, as far as resistance goes, that's some of the least you've seen in your time watching Test cricket.
Yeah, six batsmen bowled in the fourth innings of a match where you've got a realistic chase at your disposal. I mean, sure, by that stage it was all but gone after Cameron Green went bang, bang, bang either side of the tea break, but then the intervention of Scott Boland and Pat Cummins finishing it off between times. Mitchell Starc getting Stokes for the second time in the Test match, and doesn't it speak volumes that they never had to call upon Nathan Lyon for the first time in his long and distinguished Test career. He wasn't required, which just reflects how dominant the seamers have been from Boland and Green, doing far more heavy lifting than they would have anticipated at the start of the series. I mean, the story of Scott Boland finishing with 18 wickets in this series at 9.8 or something ridiculous. They'll speak of that for decades.
They will. His place in Test history and Ashes history is assured, no matter what he does from now. They're going back onto the stage now. They've called on all the assistants and the staff. Justin Langer, a big hug with his old teammate, Adam Gilchrist, of course, who was on official duties, and the rest of the coaching staff, including Langer, has been dragged up onto the stage to get extended photos. Langer's gone into the middle like a footy coach, and arms crossed, I think, here just about. There's smiles everywhere, and so there should be. It's been such a dominant performance, and as Jared said, just one wicket away from being a complete whitewash. They have dominated from the very first ball of the series to the last. And while England's resistance was and their level of ability probably was below par, you almost can't fault what Australia did, certainly with the ball. And most of the time, will prove they did enough with the bat.
Yeah, from the support staff to the coaching staff to the selectors, everything they've done really since they arrived in the UAE for that T20 World Cup has gone absolutely to plan. The players
Bailey's
they brought
there.
In through, and George Bailey should be up there. Think about those big calls he had to make after Brisbane, not least when Pat Cummins fell on the morning of a Test match, but being able to go to Jai Richardson, 5 for 42 in the final innings of that Adelaide Test. Michael Nisa playing his role, Josh Hazlewood not being available, but doing his bit on the opening day of the series, and then the intervention of Scott Boland, which as we said before, will be immediately into Ashes folklore. And who knows what his story will hold now? Will he still be part of this Australian team when they go to England in 2023? Well, much as it was with Peter Siddle when they were thinking about going to England in 2019, they wanted an experienced bowler who hit the top of off all day long. And as we've seen over the last 3.5 weeks, that's precisely what Scott Boland does.
They've eventually got all the assistants assembled over there. Enough ready to pull the trigger on multiple photos, of course, and extra rounds of applause. Plenty of the locals are staying here. Often we see test matches finish on a fifth day with, you know, just a sprinkling of people, but that because they're finished so quickly. We saw it in Melbourne, and of course we've seen it here. So great numbers here, which adds to the atmosphere and I'm sure the joy for the Australians who are now jumping back off the stage. And hopefully we'll have one or two of them head our way very shortly, but it's all smiles and happiness down here.
I think at the start of the series when they were trying to resolve, well, a few questions. Who was going to open the batting? Who was going to bat number five? And really, who was going to coach the team after this series? Well, maybe the opening question isn't quite concluded as yet. We'll continue to debate that. Number five, though, Travis Head, player of the match with a sparkling century here. His second of the series. The way he played late on day two at Brisbane, which meant that Australia had that platform to exert maximum pressure on England the second time around with the bat, and the way that he came out and counter-attacked at 3-for-12 here on the first day, a worthy player of the match. We're going to try and collar him here. Are we going to be successful? We might have to wait our turn. So Travis Head, player of the match, and winning, as I say, the Compton Miller Medal, which was brought in a couple of decades ago now and has been won by many fine cricketers. And he adds his name to that list, and he probably was the last name on the team sheet when they were pulling it together before the Gabba. So a great story in itself.
And it must have been tight, mustn't it? I haven't seen the votes yet, but any of those bowlers at the top of the list that we talked about with Pat Cummins eventually just pipping Mitchell Starc and Scott Boland, who played one less test. I mean, Cummins was so influential in the tests he played. You'd think if he'd played another one, that it might have been enough, but then Head missed one as well.
Yeah, that's true. Cummins finishes with 21 wickets at 18. I wonder when the last votes were handed in, because presumably that was done cumulatively, and Cummins finishing it off in such spectacular fashion, knocking stumps out of the ground twice in the final over. But alas, that's only a small point of the Cummins story. He's got a long way to go. It'll be a huge building block for Travis Head.
Yeah, it will. And yes, sport is littered with examples of where decisions on players of matches and series. It goes back to the Centenary Test. Derek Randall was awarded the Centenary Test. And then Dennis Lilly ended up taking 11 wickets and didn't get it. But anyway, that's a long time ago and that's history. This is in the present. And Travis Head, those two really influential centuries, plus some handy runs in Adelaide, meant that in a low-scoring series, a really low-scoring series, that his runs were important runs, they were quick runs, and they were influential on the result, you know, probably particularly here and also in Brisbane.
Yeah, and look, they've been wanting him to take this next step for, what, 3 years now? Dropped a couple of times at the Oval in 2019 and last year after the Melbourne Test match. And there was a lot of quite reasonable debate as to whether he had the technique to survive and prosper at the highest level, at top table. And here he is leading the runs for an Ashes contest. And yes, you're right, it's not been a huge amount of competitive tension across the five Test matches with the exception of that final day at Sydney. But he was the man who pulled the trigger on the first day here and made sure that they'd get beyond 300, and that in the end was enough to put England out of the game.
I wonder what Joe Root's thinking now. He's about 6 metres away from us at the moment, and so many questions have already been asked and will be asked of him. I wonder how much of a chance he's had to process any of it, and whether he knows in his mind. I mean, it sounds like he's more likely to go on than not as captain, doesn't it, with a test series quite imminent. But who knows? I wonder if we can get him across.
We'll see if we can collar him. We'll give it a red-hot go. I'll wave over in the direction of Joe and see if I can get his eye.
Sneak him. He's coming over, I think.
We'll see how we go. Yep, we'll grab Joe Root here. Yeah, no worries at all. Thank you, Joe Root, for joining us on SEN Test Cricket. Obviously a galling way for this whole thing to end. You bowled so well today to give yourselves a chance, and it just wasn't really possible with your batting lineup as fragile as it is at the moment.
I think that's slightly unfair. I think we've got the ability to chase that down. I think what is fair to say is that that's not a good enough performance again. Some of the dismissals were very soft and tame, and you know, after the start that we had, really felt like we were in with a real chance of chasing that down. I think credit to Australia, they got a breakthrough. They saw a sniff and they took it. But you know, we're a better side than that. You know, we clearly are. And I think that's the frustrating thing. It's happened too many times, but we have to learn from it. We have to come away from this tour. Clearly, that's something as a whole that we need to be better at. We can't constantly be getting out, bowled out for under 200. You're not going to win test matches against a high quality side like Australia. So, no, it's quite clear where we need to make improvements. We've got to go away and do it now.
A collapse of 10 for 56. That pressure the Australian team were able to exert from innings to innings, test match to test match. I mean, they're a fine cricket team and you've caught them at a tough time.
Yeah, I mean, we have. But again, I do think we've not performed to our ability. And I think that's a little bit frustrating. But, you know, there's some young guys in this group. There's some young guys that have spent their whole careers learning how to play certain situations for the first time in Test cricket, and that's quite a challenge. So, you know, they've got to keep looking at how, you know, learning from the different situations they found themselves in throughout the last year, whether it be out in Asia in spinning conditions or out here with the extra bit of bounce and pace, and I suppose just managing different pockets of play better, giving us a chance to get in the game. You know, get yourself a platform, build a partnership. Now out there today, you felt like you got 30, 40 runs together, start putting a bit more pressure back on Australia, could create a bit of panic, and you never know how things could have unfolded. But you know, there are some harsh lessons that we've learned throughout this tour, and it's evident where we need to get better.
Now that the series is over, is there things that happened that we didn't know behind the scenes that made it much harder for you collectively?
No, I mean, I think for a number of journalists have probably experienced what it's like living in sort of bubble environments for the first time, and I think it just takes its toll after a while. You spend such a long time in that environment away from your families and with restrictions around you, it can wear you down slightly. Of course, that's not an excuse for what you do out there on the field, but it does make things challenging away from home. But it's the world we live in right now, and we know how important Test cricket is. We know how important it has been to Australia as well, and how important this series was to take place. You know, we all want to be part of an Ashes series, so of course we wanted to make sure that we gave a better account of ourselves than we did, but absolutely make sure that all five test matches took place.
I'm mindful you've got to meet your commitments to England media. In closing, in short, are you keen to keep leading this England test team?
Yeah, I'd love the opportunity to. We'll see what happens in the near future.
Thank you, Joe Root. Thanks for coming to Australia.
Thank you very much for having me. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Joe. That's really good of him to do that, and he's given that first indication, Colo, that he wants to captain on.
He does. Joe Root's a really good human being. I feel for him at the moment. Anyone that's had anything to do with him must. A wonderful cricketer and just let down so badly by his team.
Yeah, I did. If we'd had more time, I just wanted to sort of ask him. That's the obvious question. How do you feel? Like, I don't know what he would have said. I think he probably would have just said what he said to Gilly. But if you could sit down with him in a couple of days' time when he's had a chance to process all that, I wonder. I mean, there'd be frustration is what he's talked about. But there's a bit of an edge there that sort of kept into some of the answers, and just looking at his body language as well, but he's also, you know, towing the line and saying the right things as well.
I think to an extent he's resigned to his fate.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there were reports in England during the week about him holding the captaincy, but finishing that way, they might just take him out of the firing line. They might give the captain's armband to somebody else for a period of time. Maybe it's one of the old fast bowlers in the short term as they take stock. They've got Test cricket to play in 6 weeks from now. Not a long time to turn it around. There's no easy answers, that's for sure.
No, there's not. It would be interesting if they were to do that, though, wouldn't it? I mean, and his batting has gradually declined under the pressure of the series, no doubt. But he's given that indication that he wants to be the captain going forward. I think Travis Head's going to make his way back over to us.
Looks like it.
Now, he has
fantastic
rejoined us on SEN Test Cricket. I know you're keen to get all your media. You gave the fairly strong indication you're keen to get in with your teammates. Hey, congratulations. Well done.
No, thank you. It's been an amazing series. 19 was something special, and this is sort of topped that. And it's been amazing. Any Ashes series we've spoken about, people in the past speak about how special they are, but to now be involved in two and do what we did in England and then come back here and play such a great series has been awesome.
How's it feel to be the player of the series?
Almost didn't get a game going in the first test, so there's nothing. I didn't expect that. Obviously, I've spoken a lot about trying to be as consistent as I can be as a player, as a person around the group, and contribute to wins. So that's a byproduct of what I've been working extremely hard on and trying to achieve. It's pretty bloody good, though, isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing. It'll sink in over the next week or two or a couple of months, but it's something that I'll be able to look back on and be very proud of.
You've been in and out of the team a couple of times over the last few years. People have been waiting for you to take the next big step and be a true senior player and leader in this team. You are that now. How does that feel?
Yeah, it feels good. But I understand what's coming as well. It's going to be extremely hard in the next couple of months, the next couple of series. So, a lot of hard work's gone into this series. I'll do that hopefully in the next series and I can keep contributing. That's what I want to do. It's great that being able to get scores and win games of cricket in Australia. The challenge now is obviously being able to do it away from home.
And the confidence to play a counter-attacking innings like you did on that first afternoon, 3-for-12 walking out and believing in yourself sufficiently to play that way.
Yeah, I think that stems from obviously Brisbane as well and the confidence I had in Brisbane, Adelaide. I felt like I batted really nicely in Melbourne as well. So throughout the series, I know I'm lining them up well and watching it well. I knew I had to be relaxed and enjoy the moment. It was a very enjoyable time batting.
Who's in charge now?
Warner's on fire at the moment. He has been for a few weeks. So I think he's charging along. There'll be a few. Marcus Harris is pretty good as well. So me, Marcus, Barrel and probably Keza will be a little crew tonight, which will be very enjoyable.
Speaking of Scott Boland, what a story. That's quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've all in that dressing room. I'm sure a lot of Australia have seen him in Shield cricket over a 10-year period. That'd be unbelievable. And I felt like coming into the series, if he got his opportunities, unbelievable against left-hand batters. But he's unbelievable against everyone this series. So it was great. The wickets, obviously, were probably more bowler-friendly than we expected for an Ashes series in Australia, and he just was unbelievable and, not surprised.
He was even showing a bit of emotion there a couple of times, wasn't he?
Mate, everyone's got around. This is his second home, obviously, for the Hurricanes, but everywhere he went, just absolutely love him, man. I think that's what people love to see, is that he's a hard worker. He's quiet, shy bloke that just gets on with his business. I think everyone loves that and loves seeing that, and he's done an exceptional job.
Such a cohesive group from the selectors through to the team. The bowling group have had a number of changes through the series. Everything the selectors have done has gone right as well. With a big year ahead, you must feel like you can do some special things in 2022.
Yeah, Pat said that. You can't... It's been amazing, the resources that we've got. We're bloody fortunate. The Australian cricket team's got a lot of support staff. I think you see that when we're around. And they're unbelievable. We've got no bad eggs in the team. It's just such a well-designed group, and we just work together. And I think off the fly-off of the World Cup, obviously, they've come back with a few things, key elements that have worked for the World Cup, and we took that in the year, and it was just a relaxed and enjoyable experience.
And after a couple of days doing as you must in a situation like this, what's the time-off situation like for you personally before you kind of have to regroup and think about Pakistan?
Yeah, well, hopefully the strikers get up tomorrow night. I'm not sure what happened in the game tonight, but there's an opportunity potentially to play the Big Bash. It's going to be tough with obviously home and being bubbles and that. So we've got to best work out what happens over the next few days to try and get in the BBL. But if that's an opportunity, we'll wait and see over the next 24 hours. I hadn't made that decision. I thought I had a few more days to make that. We'll see how the next 24 hours go and I'll make that decision.
We'll let you get going, Travis. Congratulations. Outstanding performances right through the series. Player of the match, player of the series. Let that sink in and enjoy tonight. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Cheers, guys.
Cheers,
thank
Travis.
You. Travis Head joining us on SEN Test Cricket. And I still don't think it's quite sunk into him just yet, Colo.
Popular boy. We've got a lot of people around us here watching that interview. And
he's just gone over to shake the hands of Joe Root as well and have a chat with some of the English team. So
yeah, that background that Root had in South Australia all those years ago, he's got a good relationship with the guys from the SACA. So, yes, I mean, just asking him there about what might be possible for him this year, this platform, this foundation, having been kind of the last guy into the team, now one of the first names on the team sheet, with what's coming up in Pakistan, uncharted territory for this entire group of players. It, as I say, it could be a very special year for them now.
All right, well, that's it from down here. Cam Green is the last of the Australians to leave. Joe Root, again, polite to the nth degree, right to the very end. He's posing for photos as we speak right now. I'm sure he doesn't feel like it, but well done to Joe Root and to everyone down here. Australia 4-0, still up on the scoreboard, winning by 146 runs. Jared, back to you.
Terrific, Hutto. So 17 wickets fell on day two and day three to hurdle this test match to its conclusion. Australia 4-0. Robinson faces the music. Cummins bowls to him. He backs away and he's bowled. The captain finishes it. Pat Cummins pumps the fist. England routs it in the final session under lights. They lost 9 wickets for 56 runs in the collapse. It happened inside 2 hours. Australia wins the Ashes 4-0. And bar for the one missing wicket, it would have been a whitewash. Australia win in Belrive by 146 runs. The concluding moments of the Ashes summer of 21-22. Mike Atherton has been committing his thoughts to print for the Times. Mike, thanks for just coming off the keyboard for a moment. What is it? The third instalment of the Naked Gun series was the final insult. And that had a bit of the final insult to it.
Yeah, I'm afraid it did. It wasn't pretty viewing at all. England have had some bad collapses in this series. And that was a bad collapse. Albeit some mitigation, the lovely bowling conditions, lights on, pink ball, we know all that. But just the manner of the defeat there, the way that the tail enders went to defeat, backing away and just swiping as if they couldn't wait to get on the plane home. I'm afraid it was miserable viewing from an England perspective. There's been a gulf between the sides. Congratulations to Australia. It's a fine Australian team. Top class bowling attack. I think England have made Australia look a slightly better batting team than they are. I think there's some holes there, but top-class bowling attack without a shadow of a doubt, and they kept England under constant pressure throughout this series, and I'm afraid England have just been not good enough. The batting has shown to be technically deficient and just lacking in a bit of fortitude.
For Pat Cummins, who came to the captaincy just weeks ahead of the series, and we all pondered what it would look like under a fast bowler, the first instalment is quite a thrilling one for him and for us to observe.
Absolutely, it is. He was asked on the podium, is it a childhood dream? And I guess it must be for every young Australian captain, young Australian cricketer, to captain against England in the Ashes, to do it on home soil and to lead your team to a 4-0 rout. And as you say, really could have been 5-0, but for two sessions lost to rain in Sydney and a bit of bad light at the end of that game. And who's to say that's not a realistic margin of the difference between the teams, really? You get the sense, listening to Joe and Chris Silverwood, no doubt, that they're a little bit in denial about this team. I mean, they've been hammered here, and the manner of it has not been pretty. And you can't just keep saying, well, we'll keep learning and we'll moving on and get better. I'm afraid things will have to change.
Do you think that might be the end for Joe Root as captain?
I suspect he's run his race. He's an absolutely outstanding individual, a brilliant batsman. He's been a good England captain now for 5 years, but he's been doing it for 60 test matches. We've just seen Virat Kohli, who is as hard and as fit and as passionate a cricketer as can be, and he's done it for 68 games, I think, and has basically said he's burnt out and run his race. And I've been there. I know what it's like. And I get that sense that that's probably the case with Joe. The issue for England is obviously where do they turn? What alternatives are there? And all the noises they've been making over the last week or two are that they want to invest further time in Joe Root. But it's hard to think that there won't be some change after this, whether it's captain, coach, managing director of English cricket. It's hard to think that they'll just go on to the next series in the Caribbean and not have something happen after this, because of not just the defeat, but the manner of the defeat as well. The mistakes that have been made over selection and strategy, the way they've kind of meekly surrendered the Ashes in 12 days, it's been dismal viewing.
I know it's just finished. How do you think it will live on, this series? How's it going to be thought of? How's it going to be placed in the law?
Probably with an asterisk next to its name in terms of the, you know, a five-test series being played in the middle of a pandemic. And, of course, there is mitigation for England around the scheduling and the lack of preparation and the rain in Queensland and everything that meant that they got to that first test at the Gabba totally undercooked, really. And I understand that, and I have some sympathy for that. But I think you can only carry those that mitigation so far, and I think the players principally and obviously the captain and the coaching staff have to take responsibility for it.
Mike, we feel so privileged to have had you as part of our broadcast.
It's been great fun. I must say I thoroughly enjoyed myself. It's been great fun listening to you all call it, and thank you very much.
Mike Atherton, a great part of our Ashes summer of 21-22. The test match here in Hobart, 25,801 people saw it across 3 days. Test cricket at this venue is played at warp speed. They are three-day tests, bar for weather, Alex Doolan. How will this Ashes test, the first one staged on this island, be thought of?
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed it as much as I did. I thought it was a great contest that ebbed and flowed the whole time. I thought the pitch was much talked about, but I thought it was actually a pretty good cricket wicket, to be perfectly honest. I thought there was at times some poor cricket, which made the wicket look a little spicy. But I mean, I thought it was a great test match. I had a lot of fun here watching it. It was really exciting. It was fast, but I think it was a great endorsement for Tassie cricket.
Alex, been great to have you as part of it. Thanks for taking the invitation.
Thank you.
Good man, Alex Doolan. Now, Bharat, what are we to make of it all?
Oh, it feels like such a long time ago, Jared, that I flew to Brisbane and watched England warm up against the England Lions and saw Ben Stokes cheering everyone on, and I thought, well, this could be something interesting. And it's amazing when you look back that going into this Ashes, Australia was the team under pressure. You know, the whole Tim Payne episode, when Pat Cummins, new captain, we didn't know what to expect. But after that first ball, Mitchell Starc to Rory Burns, like you said earlier, that set the tone. And things have just gone really, really bad to worse to this, humiliation again. And I think we've spoken so much about technique and tactics and selection. More than anything, I think England did not show any heart, and that has to hurt.
When Joe Root says we're a better side than that, all available evidence suggests that they're not.
Absolutely not. And when he said that it is unfair to call their batting lineup brittle, after all the collapses that we've seen, tells you what Athers just said. They are living in denial. I wrote this piece after the third test saying they need someone who just kind of gives them a reality check internally, and doesn't have to come from anywhere else. But and they're a lovely team. They've won a lot of hearts here. Even now, Johnny Bairstow walked out and handed a few pink balls to whoever's been left behind. Joe Root has been an outstanding ambassador for England and English cricket throughout this tour. Even listening to him there, it's not been easy for them, but they haven't helped their cause either.
I must say, I love Australia under Pat Cummins. The idea of a team being led by a fast bowler and he's the one who finishes it off, that was the unknown, I think, and first impressions are quite superb.
Yeah, what were we doing all these years? We should have done this much earlier, I think. Now, he's again, speaking of great ambassadors for cricket, I mean, he's just a great ambassador for sport in general. He says the right things, he does the right things, and plays cricket the right way. There was nothing nasty about anything we saw during the series. Even the celebration in the end, there was no one-upmanship at all from the Australians. Even their interactions with each other was great. And how good was it to see Nathan Lyon not forget his roots, Jared? Like, he just walked out a while back, yep, carrying a lot of jumpers for the groundsmen here, despite the fact that they produced a pitch where he couldn't get a single over.
It's going to be one of the great quirks of this test. Bharat, it's been awesome to share this Ashes series with you after all the work you did for us during the World Cup as well. Onward and prosper. We look forward to picking up our conversations.
Thank you so much. And don't forget the fact that I can do some calling as well.
Yes, we've tiptoed into that. I rather like the look of the Indian series later in the year. Bharat, you'll be our tour guide, I reckon. Thanks. Anthony Hudson in to tie it all up together. So the post-match show for Anaconda, Play More, Pay Less, with Anaconda's 10% price beat guarantee. The fall of wickets is going to be the tale at the end. For budget truck rental, no matter the job, they've got a truck. 68, 82, 83, 92, 101, 107, 107, 115, 123, 124. That is a village of the damned right there.
It is, unfortunately, Jared. I was just outside to the right during a fair bit of that collapse at the end, and it was, just disbelief greeted there. Oh, there was obviously Australian fans that were loving it, and there was dancing on the hill, which was great. But if this timing suited England theoretically better in terms of watching at home, you would not have been wanting to watch that if you're an England fan.
No.
That was really – and you actually, I mean, I'm going to speak out of school, but we always talk about when a test match is going to end and we make our predictions off air. You felt coming here today that, if Australia got a couple of wickets, they would run through them pretty quickly. But the way they started, it didn't look that way, and you'd actually changed your mind by telling you thought we'd be here tomorrow, as I think most of us did, but it didn't take much to get it going. And it was a terrible way to finish, wasn't it, really?
The uncommitted nature of it.
Not standing their ground. The only probably saving grace there, as a few of the Australian bowlers didn't either, but
yep,
it didn't look great at the end.
So a plus for Host Plus, the industry super fund for all Australians. That's Travis Head. Yeah. As you rightly point, you spoke to him at the start of the test match and at the end, which I always think is a lovely thing to get the thoughts at either end, but he was the last man in. And five was the weakness in the Australian side. It was the hole. And yet five has been the most prosperous part and has delivered Travis Head not only back into the fold, but man of the series, and now onward to claim his test career, really.
Yeah, well, he pretty much said that, didn't he, himself, about where his position was coming in. And I think he didn't get the chance really to expand on his answer, but I get the feeling that he's well aware that it won't be always like this, yeah, and that those conditions are going to present different challenges to him. He won't be able to necessarily play in the same way. It's going to be a really interesting watch to see where he goes from here. But for those that maybe doubted him and thought that he wasn't suitable for test cricket, they may have to reassess.
They may indeed. That's a plus. Host Plus.
Whoever they may be.
An industry super fund that puts you first. That's a plus. The player of the series is Travis Head for Bingley. Grab a deal today. I want to kick up for Pat Cummins, though. 21 wickets at 18. And when it had to be done at the Gabba, at Hobart, so he bookends it. When it had to be done, it was Cummins who took the ball himself. I think he captained quite incisively and brilliantly. So, and it was a bowler's series. So I like
if it's a bowler's series
means the best batsman gets the award. And if it's a batter's series, it's the batter who gets it.
I agree.
It's loaded against.
Yeah, and probably the only argument against, other than that, you know, he missed a test, is that he was so close with all the other bowlers. You know, if you look at the raw numbers, and Stark was very consistent and handy with the bat. You know, Cam Green probably made the late run. If you're just purely looking at numbers and he was consistent with the ball, he probably was too poor with the bat for too long in the series when the series is on the line. And that's, again, if you're judging these things, you know, how heavily do you weigh the matches that actually influence the result? And that's interesting with Travis Head as well, because his most definitive innings was here, but the Ashes were already decided by then. So there's a lot of things to... And even in Brisbane, he came in when the hard yards had been fought through by Warner and Labuschagne. So it's so tight. And and I think what we can say, that if Scott Boland had played one more test and continued on the same trajectory, he would have won.
Yeah, 18 wickets at 9.55. It's all right. So you said it becomes an instant part of Ashes folklore. Forever and a day, we will talk about Scott Boland.
Yep.
And in a way, in a perverse way, if he didn't play another series, it would sort of lift it even further.
He's just announced his retirement, Jared.
It won't be diminished in any way.
He certainly, if we got an award for the most modest player who doesn't want to talk about himself.
Our post-match show for Anaconda, play more, pay less with Anaconda's 10% price beat guarantee. A chance for you and I to say a few thank yous.
Yep.
So we got to say it to Athers ourselves. I don't mind saying it. It's one of the great thrills of my professional life to spend weeks with Mike Atherton and to listen to him and to learn from him.
Well, we talked last night over a drink about the various international ex-champions that we've had a chance to be with, and it has been fantastic over the last few years. I've particularly liked, I've said this 100 times, having Wasim Akram in our WhatsApp group. but Baz, of course, is part of the SEN family now, so he was terrific as well, and good for a few race tips, not so good for a few others. But Mike he's just been, we all watched him, and just his considered view, and he's, you know, sometimes people are more difficult than others to work with, but he's just been a delight. If Mitch has been struggling, a cat swanning off, you know, doing a cashie or something, Athens has been happy to step in at a moment's notice. So he's been fantastic.
Simon Katich is our foundation member. He's our foundation expert on SEN Test cricket before he found the glory of television. Bless him. Damien Fleming there for the first ball and the last ball. Chris Rogers, who's just got such a way. Even when he's not here, he's a constant
presence. Yeah.
Bless him. Ian Healy at the Gabba with all the local knowledge there. Pete Lawler.
Oh, Pete.
Cheerio to the fella stuck in the Marrickville shed at the moment suffering with COVID. Pete, always
great.
Some
of us were able to just see out the series. Others fell.
Barat.
Sorry, Pete.
Lisa Stelaker, Bryce McGain, who stepped in. Julia Price, who we would have had more of if this test had gone longer.
She didn't get to see much action.
And we didn't get to do the full story of coaching the US. There's so many good stories that Julia holds. So another time, Alex Doolan On the technical side of things,
he's the only member with a stand named after him, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. So whenever we come here, that's going to be our Alex Doolan stand.
And Flash, who's been here helping us out as well,
brilliant,
a local legend and a broadcaster in his own right, and he escorted me along at Claremont Golf Course this morning. And apart from upsetting one of the locals by driving the cart in the wrong place, he didn't put a foot wrong. So thanks, Flash.
To Pete McGinley, who this has been a technical challenge from beginning to end. A big salute to Pete for getting us and keeping us on air in all sorts of guises through blackouts of television coverage and through multi-venues to be able to put it all together. To Adam Collins. Now, Colo picks it up for us from here. Mm. So he'll be in Pakistan. We have the rights to that test series. Then I imagine Sri Lanka. I think we're all hoping to be with him in India, but he'll take our test cricket coverage throughout the calendar year. So Adam Collins, such a big part of that. And then above all else is Mitch Scott. So this has been a logistical challenge on top of what took place last year. The facts, if you have enjoyed any part of this, it owes so much to Mitch. So a big salute to you, Mitch. Well done. Well done. And all of the staff that you've marshalled along the way. And to you. And all the messages that you've sent through. Is
all the positive messages.
All those armchair selectors who thought they could do it better. Even yesterday, we were sacking the entire top order. And here Australia is with a 4-0 rout in an Ashes series. Thanks for sharing it with us. Thanks for sharing your views and opinions and joining in the debates. And I know there was a lot of appreciation for the likes of Athers. So we'll make sure we pass that on. So thanks to all of you. RSEN test cricket coverage for Host Plus, that's a plus, and for Henley Everyday Advantage. We have been live from Blunston Arena from the iconic brand down here, Blunston, built to last. Hutto, terrific. That's our Ashes summer.
Thanks, Jared. Great to experience an Ashes series. Would have liked it to have been a little bit closer and a little bit more competitive, but it's been great to be part of it, and well done to you for leading the way as always.
Let's see if we can find a Tassie gin to toast how it's all unfolded. This is how the Ashes of 2021-22 played out on SEN Test Cricket.
As Stark roars in and bowls to Burns, he bowled in first ball!
Down to fine leg.
He's done it again.
And Hazelwood has repeated the dose, and Pat Cummins, a 5 and debut as captain.
Head on 97, Wokes puts it up there. He on drives, he beats mid on, and the first century of the series belongs to Travis Head.
Root gets a full ball, he just stood in the crease and drove. Sublime shot.
It touches the rope, and Labuschagne has his first Ashes century. Anderson bowls, Labuschagne inches through gully. It'll go all the way, I think. It touches the rope, and Labuschagne has his first Ashes century. And again, Marnus is in the pink. Wokes bowling to Smith, who lifts him up superbly into the stands. What a mighty hit!
The campaign started at Manchester a couple of years ago. Nisa bowls Hamid.
Yay!
Oh, wicket with his second ball in Test cricket.
Listen again, he's nicked it, he's dropped. Oh. Butler puts him down.
Absolutely regulation for a keeper.
Throws it up there, the edge, and it dropped! Rory Burns has dropped the most simple of catches.
Awful.
Three slips expectant, and magnificent delivery.
And they're checking for the no ball as we speak. And
oh, it is. It's a big no ball.
Oh, struck. Second time today in the nets. No. That is nasty. Rolling around in pain. That's why he missed the start of the day as well. Ever so politely said it was abdomen. He got it in the Jets crackers earlier, and that's where it's hit him again.
Here comes Richardson, start of a new over, into the gully, and Anderson's gone! Australia win the Test match. Jai Richardson collects a 5-wicket bag. Australia do the job with the pink ball in Adelaide again. He's bowled! Whoa, that's a lovely piece of bowling from the veteran, and Jimmy loves it.
It's Cummins bowls. Hamid, fending the ball and flies over the corner. Cummins bowls to him, and Crawley's edged, and it got through. It got through between Carey and Warner. Stark bowls, Crawley's beaten, he's nicked it, he's gone. He's gone. England can't buy a partnership at the top of the order. He's facing up to Mitch Stark, who bowls. And he's wrapped on the pad. They're up. He's out. Bang. You're gone. Mitch Stark, two in two balls.
Darwin Milan's bat was in a different postcode.
If Stark takes this hat-trick, removing Joe Root, the Ashes are one. Stark sets it. Joe Root in his sights. Stark bowls. Root edges. Oh, no, he did it. It got past the outside edge. You could not get closer to a hat-trick than that. Joe Root survived. Stark gave himself a great look. And he gave us all a cheap thrill.
That is Test cricket at its finest. Mitchell Stark got the MCG crowd. They were erupting.
Bowling continues. And Leach's bowl didn't play a shot. And Scott Boland is mobbed.
Boland again bowls here to Robinson. Edge to Taken! Oh, Scott Boland, it's a movie script. He's got 6 for 5.
Anderson in his sights. He bowled him! The Ashes are retained in 3 tests. An annihilation at the MCG. Cameron Green gets the last wicket, but it is the debut of Scott Boland that will echo through Ashes history. Unforgettable stuff. Australia rampant and dominant. England crushed in a manner that you could barely imagine.
Leach bowls, he's back on his stumps, he rips it away, he beats the field, he punches the air down low. It's the feel-good moment we all needed. The most popular of centuries from Usman Khawaja. He's 9th in Test cricket. It's a moment he thought may well have never happened again.
3 balls to get the century for Bairstow. Cummins bowls, flashes at it, top edge, down to third man for 4. Johnny Bairstow roars to the heavens. The first English century of the Ashes. It's emblematic of the fight back we've seen on Jane McGrath Day.
Boland. Oh, he's got through him, he's bowled him.
Wow.
And Scott Boland, the dream continues. The reality's better.
That is the Bolo Boulevard of Bewilderment.
He's going to bowl to Leach, who's edging and he's caught it slip. It's off Carey. It's ricocheted to slip. Smith has made the break with the last ball of the over. Leach is gone. There's 12 balls to go. Enter the quintessential number 11, Jimmy Anderson.
1 ball for 1 wicket. Can Steve Smith conjure it? He bowls to Jimmy Anderson. It's short and the number 11 defends. A broad grin from Jimmy Anderson. He survives. England defy Australia. With 1 wicket remaining, the SCG test ends in a draw. There will be no whitewash.
A historic moment in Tasmanian sports. The first Ashes test in the States. Stuart Broad bowls. Warner let it hit him. It's high up. Bowls to Warner, who's edging and he's caught at second slip. Dave Warner gone for a duck.
Bowling, he's edging, and this time he's caught by Crawley at second slip.
Australians cannot believe this. Already 3 for 12.
Around the wicket, Broad bowls. Head goes hard at it and smashed it through the offside for 4.
Wokes again. Head on 99. He bowls. It's there. He slashes. Bottom edge, but it doesn't matter. An astonishing century from Travis Head. A game-changing innings. To line short, he smashes it. That has cleared everything.
All out for 303 in the 76th over.
What's a quick single? Burns to the danger end.
Yes.
Hits. It's got to be close. Rory Burns has to trudge from the field with another duck.
Cummins to Crawley. He's caught. That short leg by Travis Head.
Cummins bowls to Milan. Couple of slips. Down the leg side. Has he been strangled? He has. He's bowled! Boland's done it again! The England captain is castled! Bowled for 11.
Pat Cummins, Ollie Robinson faces the music. Cummins bowls to him, backs away and he's bowled! The captain finishes it! Pat Cummins pumps the fist. England routs it in the final session under lights. They lost 9 wickets for 56 runs in the collapse. It happened inside 2 hours. Australia wins the Ashes 4-0. And bar for the one missing wicket, it would have been a whitewash. Australia win in Belrive by 146 runs. And it is just additional humiliation for England at the end as they're bowled out for 124.